It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome back for another excursion into network radio's history on the RTC Weekly Download. This time, we're going to listen to programs broadcast in the daytime, primarily for the women, but other people, of course, are tuning in all the time. We have a selection of comedies and soap operas and a game show. Now, these programs were primarily designed to appeal to women, and that's why you hear in the advertising a concentration on soap and cleaning and household goods. And these programs would typically be heard around 9 o'clock to about, oh, I'd say around 3:34, and then the kids' shows would start. So let's get started with Bob and Ray.
And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
One is the sunshine, the other is rain. Well, here right. We are back with the Friday Bob and Ray Show.
That's right. The other Bob and Ray Show? Is that what you said?
No, the Friday one.
Oh, I thought you said the other one. I was wondering where the first one would have been. We'll be here for the... All right, Themesters, stop. Thank you. We're snappy again today, you notice?
Did you give him the cannon?
No. Please, we had spent almost $5 in eggs, Bob, and our budget director was telling me this morning by a long-distance phone that we can't keep that up.
Where is he now, Puerto Rico?
Yes, he's down in Puerto Rico.
Having a nice vacation for himself.
Wonderful time. The old juggler, we call him. He handles our books.
Well, he'll be back for the fall accounting.
Yes, and I hope that one of these days we may spring a surprise check on those books and find him wanting.
Of course, you know what he isn't figuring. You know, what we're not figuring is what we're taking in on the telescope at a dime a throw.
How much are we taking in, Uncle Bob?
Well, a dime every time somebody looks at it.
I know that, but how much?
Tar Heel.
How much in toto?
Toto, we've got 20 cents.
Which that's not really. And I think both those dimes were mine, come to think of it.
I think one of them was mine. I looked through it. No, I looked through it on your dime. That's right.
That's right. So,
somebody's walking into the studio right
now. Well, who would it be but Natalie Attire?
Hey, Natalie Attire. It must be Friday.
Friday, did you notice?
Yes.
Yes, and I... All right, Eddie, just... Poor Eddie, honestly.
Okay. Old lady.
What?
What did you say, Eddie?
I thought he said, okay, old lady. That's...
Is that what you said, Eddie?
Well, yeah, just in a kidding way.
Well, I don't appreciate that kind of kidding.
Did you pick a letter from a college or high school this week?
College. A college letter one. We had a nice note from a Ralphie Graham from Dartmouth.
Oh, boy.
And it was a long letter, but I won't bother to read it all.
Oh, is that windy one that passed across my desk? Oh,
yeah.
Seven or eight pages there.
Quite verbose. Mm. But, nonetheless, he listed almost 45 reasons why we should say their song.
Well, you can't
go
through the list now.
We had a lot of competition, and it was a very difficult choice.
It was close between Dartmouth and Indiana, wasn't it?
No.
Indiana Collegiate University?
No, absolutely not.
Oh.
Nope, it was State Teachers College at Bridgewater was
second. Well, maybe you can get to theirs later. If they
well,
like
I
this.
Hope so.
Anyway, here then, with a salute to Dartmouth, is Natalie Attire saying the fight song?
Yes, as the backs go tearing by.
All
Eddie?
Right, remember, operators are standing by.
Pick it up a little, Eddie.
Right.
As the backs go tearing by, on the way to do or die, many sighs and many sighs and many cheers mingle with the Harvard tears as the backs go tearing by. Making gain on steady gain, echo swells the sweet refrain. Dartmouth's going to win today, Dartmouth's sure to win today, as the backs go tearing by.
That's all, Eddie.
That's it, huh?
Okay. Eddie, you're on thin ice. What?
Wait,
word, a new dress.
We had Natalie standing on the...
Well, I must be hit with 24 eggs here.
Well, that's what happens when the cannon goes off.
Oh,
that's
my. Isn't this terrible? Now, this is the type of dress that cannot be clean.
Oh, isn't that disgraceful?
It's the one you wear for all of your TV appearances, isn't it?
Now, don't get smart.
Well, it's just that it's too bad. I didn't realize that it would happen that way. We have you standing in the circle there, but not for that reason.
Just... Well, when I step on the subway covered with two dozen eggs...
Oh, wait. No, Eddie, you'll laugh.
I mean, neither people were going to shy away from it.
Eddie. Eddie.
Yeah?
Come here. Do you see that circle painted on the floor, Eddie?
Is this when I'm going to get mine, like you told me this morning?
Yes, you're going to get yours. Thank
wow.
you. So long, you two.
That two dozen eggs was worth it, I think.
Boy, and there goes a real omelet.
Yeah, let's take a minute right now to remind our listeners about the Miller Show that comes their way each Sunday on CBS Radio.
Which Miller?
Mitch Miller.
I kind of set that one up for you, didn't I?
Well, Mitch, you know, presides over that show business roundtable of his every Sunday night.
Yeah, those fabulous guest stars from the glittering world of showbiz, a really high-class entertainment. Listen to the lineup he's got coming next Sunday.
Ooh.
Thelma Goon, star of the new movie Shufflin' Off to Skagway.
Oh, and rock and roll headliner Marvin Goon, whose record of Golly Molly is right up there on top now.
And Nestle Road Goon, author of the provocative best-selling novel Beatnik Baby, Eight to the Bar.
And other luminaries from a world of entertainment too numerous to mention.
Now, none of those people are really going to be on the show, are they? Really?
Probably not. Uh-huh. But you listeners are invited to be on hand for the Mitch Miller Show. Anyway, Sunday night on this radio.
Thanks, Pops.
Now it's time for Bob and Ray Sneak Preview Time.
A potpourri of interviews, scenes, fragmented ideas, and discussions to come. First...
Well, thank you for helping me across the street, Sonny. My, but Midwest traffic can be wicked. Now, Sonny, because you've been so kind, I'd like to send you a thank you note. What's your name?
Johnny Dillinger, ma'am.
We'll be talking to ordinary people.
What's your name, sir?
John Flagler.
Now, sir, you're here to tell us about a rowboat you built.
That's right. Thing about it is, I think it's the largest rowboat ever built. It's 5,300 feet long.
It would seem to be the longest, Mr. Flagler, and it would also seem to be a good idea.
Well, I'm having a bit of difficulty with the oars, to tell you the truth. Each oar runs to about 3,300 feet. Now, when you get a piece of wood that length...
Snaps easily, is that it? Well, Mr. Flagler, I can only suggest...
There'll be fruitful public service features.
Here now is Mr. Peter Pendleton, curator of the Manhattan Zoo.
Thank you.
Mr. Pendleton, would you tell us about some of the hazards involved in visiting a zoo?
Well, I would advise the average person to get to the zoo before noon. Otherwise, you'll never get a table at the outside restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And steer clear of children carrying balloons. Now, some of the children have been known to sharpen the end of a stick attached to the balloon, and if the average zoo-goer is clever, he'll beat a hasty retreat at seal feeding time also. Now, the trainer throws his fish around the place indiscriminately, and you're just liable to get a flounder in the face.
I see. Well, now about the zoo proper, the animal cages...
And for you sports buffs.
Take 470, 360, and 280.
And for the ladies.
Paula, this world isn't built the way you want it to be. Try to understand.
Tony, you're wrong. The world is built the way I want it to be.
What do you mean, Paula?
I mean just what I said, Tony. The world is built the way I want it to be.
Let me get this straight, Paula. When you say world, are you talking about the globe? I mean, the world as a planet?
That's right, Tony. Surely you must see that.
Hello, Dr. Denton?
All this and more.
And you will hear it here on Bob and Ray Sneak Preview Time.
Where is the Bob and Ray trophy train? Well, you'll find out in just a few seconds. Standing by now, somewhere in America, is Arthur Schrank, the Bob and Ray trophy train announcer.
Time to find out where Arthur and the train both are now as we call him in, Arthur Schrank.
Hi, everybody. This is am I on here?
Yes.
Hello, everybody. This is Arthur Schrank speaking from Dallas, Texas, using the facilities of our CBS station, KRLD, here in Dallas. Bob and Ray, Hello, everybody. This is Arthur Schrank. This is the first bad report on the trophy train, Bob and Ray. And I think maybe we could have Mr. Clyde Renbert, who runs this KRLD, come up here and explain to you just what's Hello?
All right, Schrank. I've had a hard enough time explaining to all of the time buyers and advertising agency executives that we called over here.
I've never wasted
what this was all about.
Better part of $10 like this in my life.
Their unhappy mutterings can be heard probably in the background now.
To me, the whole thing shouldn't be called trophy train. It should be called fraud.
Now, these are typical comments you're listening to, Schrank. I hope you all understand.
I don't mind spending $10, but boy, I hate to have it pinched from me.
Most of these people were invited here as guests of KRLD, and they found that it's cost them money to look at these Bob and Ray trophies.
Highway robbery.
Haven't you had this reaction before?
Well, there it is, Bob and Ray. A rather negative reaction of the trophy train. I think it's more or less
certainly
because
is.
It costs them so much money to go through looking at the Bob and Ray memorabilia.
And that small fellow, he sings all day.
All right, engineer, let's get the train rolling. This is real.
One of the most disgusting scenes I've seen in many
years. Wallace is cutting up, and he's not making too many friends for us either. So I'm going to try to talk to you real soon about it, see if we can clear it up. Okay, Wallace, sing.
Goodbye, goodbye, I wish you all a last goodbye, goodbye, goodbye,
and good
I wish you all a last goodbye.
Hey, a wonderful thing, I'm sure that we had some line trouble between Dallas and here.
But our thanks, of course, to KRLD. They did a fine job in covering the arrival of
and
the trophy
train. And a very dear friend, Clyde Renbert, who appreciated the trophy train so much.
I'm sure that he will find renewed interest in time buying down there.
That's right. And just in a few moments now, of course, we'll have our big weekend party. Bob and I are leaving from the studio now. We're going right out to the sociables party up in Snobtown. We'll be there over the weekend, and we won't be back till Monday, and we're looking forward to that.
You're doing a grand job, Bob and Ray, and I think maybe we have a little time to ask if anyone in the audience has any particular talent that they would like to air coast to coast on the radio. Anybody here have a special talent that they haven't been discovered or anything?
The talent that I'd like to talk about, and if you could use it, I can put a washer on a faucet without turning off the water supply.
That certainly is a trick. I've tried that many times and can't do it that way. How did you discover the way?
By mistake. I thought that's how you did it.
Oh, I see.
And the first time I did it, I got soaked.
I should think so, yeah.
But now I can do it in less than 11 seconds. And I'm going out to the plumbers' convention. In fact, I'm touring with the act.
Is that so?
Going from one plumber convention to another.
Have you got solid bookings from now till next season? Get you into the busy season?
You bet. And I'm turning over a mighty nice, neat dollar. So I'm glad I came to your
show. Well, we're happy to promote any kind of talent we can. And you folks out there, look for this plumbing expert in your town.
I'll wear a carnation. That's one way I could tell.
You're wearing a carnation, and he will be changing washers in faucets without turning the water supply off.
Gee, that is a very interesting thing. I'd like to see that done sometime myself.
A lot of good luck to you, sir.
Really, we mean that sincerely. But now, we'll have a mystery sound for you all in just 10 seconds.
As promised, here is Monday's mystery sound.
Good. This is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
The Bob and Ray Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The year was 1959, and that was the Bob and Ray Show, and that's called Bob and Ray Trophy Time. Now it's time for some good old soap operas. And let's listen in on Helen Trent. She's always in trouble. Helen is in Silver City.
Once again, we bring you the romance of Helen Trent, who sets out to prove for herself what so many women long to prove, that because a woman is 35 or more, romance in life need not be over, that romance can live in life at 35 and after. Lovely Helen Trent is fighting to save the man she loves, handsome Gil Whitney, from a trap set by red-haired Fay Granville, a scheming adventuress who's determined to marry Gil for his money and position. Fay has already announced her engagement to Gil, and as we heard her say to her brother, Darcy,
Gil can't get out of it now, Darcy. He's been very foolish. He took me out, even kissed me, and I have a witness to the fact he asked me to marry him.
Who?
You, Darcy, my dear brother. You'd testify, wouldn't you? Of course you would. No. Gil can't get out of this engagement now without being dragged through a scandal he'll never live down.
Fay, do you think Helen Trent is going to stand still while you grab Gil Whitney?
Helen Trent can't do a thing to stop me. If she tries, she'll be sorry. Everything's going our way now, Darcy. Everything.
But now Helen Trent has found a clue to Fay's evil hidden past. The name of a man, Carlton Fletcher, whom Fay once knew in Silver City. And Helen has persuaded multimillionaire Brett Chapman to fly her in his private plane to Nevada in the hope of finding Carlton Fletcher. Now it's nearly noon of the day of Helen's takeoff for Nevada. We find Fay Granville in Hollywood in a lavish emerald green velvet housecoat in her mirrored bedroom. This moment, Fay is talking to her brother, Darcy.
What do you mean, Darcy?
Look, sister dear, you're in trouble. Do you know where Helen Trent is today?
No.
She left at dawn in that millionaire Chapman guy's private plane.
Helen Trent did? Is she eloping with Brett Chapman? Oh, Darcy, that would solve everything.
Don't you wish it, Fay? You told me to watch Helen. Last night I saw every light in her house out at 9. I figured she was turning in for an early start somewhere. So this a.m. early, I moseyed over there. I saw Helen come out of her house, get in her car, and I followed her to the airport.
That's wonderful. Then she's given up trying to get Whitney back.
I figured so until I wandered over to the hangar and got to talking to the boys. Helen's going to Nevada, Fay.
Nevada? Are you sure?
Silver City, Nevada. The mechanic let it drop.
Silver City? What is Helen going there for?
That's what I'm wondering, Fay. Seeing is how you once spent a little time there and met up with a guy named Carlton Fletcher, remember?
It's coincidence. That's all it is. Helen Trent couldn't possibly know anything about Carlton Fletcher.
And then again, she could. Helen spent quite a little time here the night of your party looking around, Fay.
Darcy, it isn't possible. It just isn't possible. Maybe Helen is going to Silver City, but it doesn't mean anything.
Maybe not, Fay. On the other hand, if Helen should just happen to bump into Carlton Fletcher...
How could she?
That's a good question. Carlton used to be big potatoes out there. 10,000-acre ranch and all. You cleaned him out, Fay. So how would he get into society circles and meet a dame like Helen Trent?
Darcy, stop talking. I've got to think. I know Helen Trent's trip to Silver City is just a coincidence, but it...
But you can't afford to take a chance, Fay.
I'm not going to take a chance. I'm going to burst Helen's little balloon before she even gets started.
How?
I'm going to see Gil Whitney.
Meanwhile, on a lonely ranch land in northern Nevada, we find Helen Trent at this moment with Brett Chapman. In a distant field is Brett's plane, shining in the sun. Confronting Brett and Helen is a tired-looking gray-haired woman, anger stamped on her roughened features that once may have had beauty. She's saying,
And you two might as well understand, we don't want strangers hanging around here.
But this ranch belongs to a friend of mine. He told me to use his landing field and borrow a car if I need it to drive up to Silver City.
Maybe this ranch does belong to a friend of yours. But you came here snooping. I can see it in your faces.
Please, Mrs. Fletcher. You are Mrs. Fletcher.
Adele Fletcher. That's my name.
Well, I'm Helen Trent, and this is my friend Brett Chapman. Maybe you would call it snooping, but I don't. I've come to find someone. I've come for help. And I think, Mrs. Fletcher, you're just the person who can help me.
Me? Help the likes of you? How?
You see, I've come all the way from Los Angeles to find someone here in Silver City named Fletcher. Carlton Fletcher.
My husband.
Yes. See, I didn't think we'd find him here on a ranch. We were going on to Silver City.
I assure you, Mrs. Fletcher, I had no idea. I knew my friend bought this ranch a couple of years ago.
Bought it? Practically grabbed it. It was my husband's ranch. Carlton put his life's blood into this place. Big Rock Ranch. Finest in this part of the state. Then he had trouble. He had to sell it. He kind of went to pieces. Couldn't bear to leave it, and the fellow who owns it now got it cheap. Let Carlton stay on, sort of caretaker, you might say. But Carlton isn't well. I do most of the work. Work like a peasant in my own house. The house that used to be mine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then the likes of you show up. City folks with your smart talk, your stylish clothes, snooping. Well, it was city folks like you, a woman and a man, who brought ruin to me and my husband. And I'm not aiming to let you take one step nearer to us.
Well, I understand, Mrs. Fletcher. I had hoped you might help us, but if you won't, we won't trouble you. Brett, shall we go?
Go, Helen? Well, I thought...
I'd rather leave. I don't want to upset Mrs. Fletcher anymore.
Look, baby, we've flown over 1,000 miles to get to this godforsaken spot. The guy you want to see is over there in that house. You're not even going to see him?
No, Brett, we're not. Thank you, Mrs. Fletcher. I'm sorry we bothered you.
I'm sorry, too. You do look different from that other woman, miss, but we're not having truck with strangers nohow.
Of course not. Come on, Brett. Come on.
I don't get it, Helen.
Has she gone back to the house?
Yeah. But what's the idea? The guy Carlton Fletcher's in there somewhere. The ranch belongs to a friend of mine. If you want to talk to Fletcher, go in.
Not that way, Brett. Not by order.
Okay. Well, baby, I've enjoyed the flight. We better get going on to civilization. Carson's got a field. We can get gas.
You go on to Carson, Brett.
What? Me? And leave you?
Don't you see it all, Brett? Carlton Fletcher is the man Fay Granville knew, and from everything Mrs. Fletcher said, it was Fay and her brother Darcy who ruined those two people. I'm sure of it. That's why Mrs. Fletcher is so suspicious, so hateful of strangers. But I think maybe, alone, I could talk to her and her husband. She seemed just a little warmer when I said we were leaving. If I go back to the house alone...
Helen, you expect me to fly off and leave you with that half-mad woman? Heaven knows what her husband's like.
Yes, Brett, please leave me here. There must be a phone in the house. You fly on to Carson, I'll call you there.
Look, Helen, I've got some rights in this, too. I'm not just a taxi driver on this trip. I'm a guy you once were going to marry, and I'm still mad about you. For 3 hours, I've been sitting in that plane so near to you, I go crazy. Never a tumble. Now I'm supposed to drop you like cab fare. Hear you say thank you. Well, I'm not.
Brett, let go of my arm.
I've been waiting for some time for this, Helen. A chance to be entirely alone with you.
Brett.
You knew this is why I flew you up here. To have some time by ourselves, take you in my arms, kiss you, Helen. You know it's what I want. I'm mad for you, Helen.
Brett, stop it. I came to you as a friend.
There's no such thing between a man and a woman. Forget Whitney, Helen. I'll give you the world.
Brett, let me go. Brett.
No, not now, Helen. I'm going to put fire into that beautiful marble you're made of. I'm going to...
Brett!
Miss, Miss Trent.
Miss Mrs. Fletcher. Brett, let me go. Brett.
Miss Trent.
Yes, yes, Mrs. Fletcher.
See, I'm glad I found you, Miss Trent. I figured I lost my manners a little back there. I used to know how to welcome folks who came to see us. I reckon I've forgotten with all our trouble. My husband, Mr. Fletcher, and I, would be right glad to welcome you to Big Rock Ranch.
While evil, scheming Faye Granville plans a hasty marriage to Gil Whitney, the man Helen Trent loves, Helen at last is about to meet the man whom Faye Granville and her brother ruined, Carlton Fletcher, in Silver City, Nevada. Standing at the door of the big ranch house, Helen says to Mrs. Fletcher,
Mrs. Fletcher, you're quite sure your husband Carlton is willing to see me?
I'm not saying if he'll talk, Mrs. Trent. He won't talk much to anybody anymore. But if you don't mind...
I appreciate his seeing me, Mrs. Fletcher.
He was a fine man, Mrs. Trent. A fine man. But you might have to forgive him a little now.
You won't want to miss the next dramatic chapter in the romance of Helen Trent at the same time tomorrow. This is Field and Farrington saying goodbye for the sponsors of Helen Trent.
There were comical soap operas, too, and we have one of those as an example. It's Vic and Sade and the Lodge Regalia on display. This is from 1943.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 12 o'clock noon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the kitchen, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and young Mr. Russell Miller. The latter has just arrived home from an active morning in Tatman's vacant lot, and he's somewhat soiled and tousled in consequence. Sade is saying...
Come here. Let me see that scratch.
It's all here.
Come here.
Doubt if I'd ever known I had it if Raymond Searles ever brought it to my attention.
You did it sliding in the second base?
Uh-huh.
Does a person slide in a second base on their face?
Raymond Searles stepped on my face.
Oh, fish.
Good thing he had tennis shoes on instead of cleated baseball shoes. If he had cleated baseball shoes on, he might have chewed my face to pieces, and I'd resemble a chunk of raw meat that had been thrown to the wild lions and tigers.
Oh, where is everybody? Hello.
Hi. We're in the kitchen.
Goodness, he must have somebody with him.
What?
Coming in the front door. We only got enough meat for the three of us.
Golly, Eaton, dear. Hello. Who's home? Russell?
Eaton's gone.
Hello. Sadie? Hello.
Oh, hello there. I thought you had somebody with you.
Hello. Eaton dinner?
Well, of course we're not eating dinner. When did we ever eat dinner without waiting on you? Anyway, the beef funkos aren't done.
Oh. Oh.
What do you keep saying hello all the time for?
Yes.
I'm quite upset.
Well, you must be. Why'd you come in the front door? I thought you must have brought somebody home to dinner. That's
right. Quite upset.
Raymond Searles was quite upset this morning. I tried to steal...
Step to the living room and fetch me volume 7 out of my large library.
Is volume 7 the one you generally...
Volume 7 is volume 7. You're familiar with Roman numerals. Be gone.
What's all that now?
You, Sadie, if you wish to be helpful, could run down cellar and get me the shovel.
Oh, you just bet I could run down cellar and get you the shovel.
What time does Gumpox, the garbage man, come along the valley?
Oh, yes. Is this another big, enormous tempest in a teapot? I know it can't be anything serious. Now sit down and relax. The beef uncles are be done in the next 10 minutes. It's a warm day, Vic. Take stuff easy.
I'm quite upset.
Well, I'll say. You come in the front, you behave like you're in a trance. Ask if we're eating dinner and then rustle after lodge junk. Send me after shovels?
Gumpox, your precious garbage man, is on duty wearing the official lodge regalia of the sacred stars of the Milky Way.
He is, huh?
Gumpox, your precious garbage man.
He's not my precious garbage man. I imagine he'd be astonished.
You have volume 7, do you, Russell?
Uh-huh.
Deposit it on the gas stove. And then station yourself at the window and yell at the top of your lungs when you see the garbage man come along.
Okay. Do all that, Russell, except the yelling at the top of your lungs part.
You countermand my orders, do you, Sarah?
I sure do.
I realize, of course, Sarah, that you...
Please don't call me Sarah, Vic.
Sade and Sadie are merely affectionate...
Diminutives of Sarah. Yes, you told me that. But please don't call me Sarah.
Are you going down cellar to get me the shovel?
I most certainly am not.
Russell.
He's not in sight yet.
Prepare below, Sarah, and fetch me the coal scoop.
Coal scoop?
Shovel. It is, I believe, beside the furnace.
Well, what you want with that?
Begun, sir.
Oh, land sake.
I will post myself at the window and watch for Gumpox, your precious garbage man.
Sure, my precious garbage man, all right.
This is the worst atrocity of all.
He's wearing odd robes, huh?
Yes.
Well, where'd you get them?
From Ike Nisabe.
Oh?
His plumed hat and regulation tunic were worn out and ready to be discarded. He gave them to Gumpox. Gumpox is wearing them.
Well, how'd you find that out?
Ike himself told me. Ike actually considered it humorous. Ike laughed. Ike brayed like a baboon. It struck iconical that your precious garbage man would sit pushed up on his wagon wearing the official tunic and the regulation plumed hat of the sacred stars of the Milky Way.
It's against the rules, huh?
Against the rules? Against the rules for an outsider and a non-member to don the regalia. Sarah, Sarah, what can you be thinking of? Sarah, reflect a moment. Sarah, think.
All right, George.
Huh?
You call me Sarah, I'll call you George.
Of course it's against the rules. It's unforgivable. It proves Ike Kneesuffer hasn't got good sense.
Is your good old Cole Scoop?
It proves definitely that Ike Kneesuffer hasn't got good sense.
Is your good old trusty Cole Scoop, Ralph?
He gave his old worn-out tunic and plumed hat to the garbage man, and the garbage man is wearing them.
God, what do I done with this peachy old shovel?
I shudder to think of the consequences if headquarters ever finds out about this.
Well, it'd be horrible.
Hey, here's the stand. Oh, lean it up against something.
Ike was amused. Ike laughed.
What's he going to do with the shovel?
Search me.
Ike was amused. Ike laughed.
Oh, land there.
Yes, Sarah.
Sarah.
You feel like I'm being ridiculous allowing myself to get upset over this matter?
Yes, I do.
You and Russell sit down and eat your supper.
It's dinner time, Bob.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, the beef pockles aren't done.
Oh, that's right. And when that precious Gumbage Man Garpox comes along, let me know immediately.
That Gumbage Man Garpox.
He's not one whit better than Ike Kneesuffer.
Well, they are birds of a feather.
Huh?
Nothing.
He isn't in sight yet, is he, Sarah?
I'm not Sarah.
No, he's not Sarah. I'm Sarah.
Go ahead and eat your breakfast.
You are upset, Gov.
You'll fetch my cold scoop?
Right there for the gas stove.
Excellent.
Well, what you going to do with the cold scoop?
Don't relax your vigilance with questions. Keep watching for Gumpox.
Are you going to hit my precious Gumbage Man Garpox over the head with your cold scoop?
It's like me suffered at the guilty party. Gumpox is merely a pawn.
Do you know that this has all happened before?
Happened before?
Yes.
Gumpox has worn the official robe and plumed hat of the sacred stars of the Milky Way before.
You've let yourself get all wild and upset all over almost the same situation before, and several times.
Enumerate the several times.
Well, I will.
This should be interesting.
It isn't, Barry.
Enumerate, please.
Well, remember one day long ago, you threw away an old plumed hat of your own?
No.
Well, I guess I was the one that threw it away. You told me to destroy it, and I tossed it in the garbage box. Mr. Gumpox found it and put it on his horse's head for a sun hat. Don't you remember?
I do remember that incident. It was most regrettable.
It certainly was. You fussed and raved and hollered just like you're doing now. Nothing particular or terrible come of it. Nobody died or anything.
Sarah, when my lodge is held up in derisive laughter and...
Tell you another incident. Remember when Hank Gutstop wore an official robe and plumed hat and worked as doorman at the Butterhouse Hotel?
Yes, I do.
You thought 98 people had been murdered. You were the only fellow to be bothered. Nobody
I'm
else.
I'm the fellow that's supposed to be bothered. I am the exalted Big Dipper of the Drowsy Venus Chapter. When any rules and regulations are violated, it is my duty to...
Yes, yes, I know. But you don't have to go into it so strong. You put 9 years extra age on yourself. Tell you still another time.
Go ahead.
Ruthie admired your lodge robe and wanted to make yourself a spring coat, using it as a pattern.
Put my foot down on that in a hurry.
Well, you certainly did. Person would have thought Ruthie had suggested we all go down and rob the People's Bank building.
You see Gumpox, do you, Russell?
No, I see Steve Chessbutter, though.
Keep an eye out for Gumpox.
Okay.
Well, I guess I enumerated other situations.
The situations you enumerated did not approach this situation. Gumpox, your precious garbage man, riding on his wagon, attired in the plumed hat and tunic of the sacred stars of the Milky Way.
It's horrible, 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 Sarah.
You addressed me as Sarah?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Oh, I suppose because it's such a warm day and because my beef focals aren't done and my husband's acting so childish.
I don't have much hopes of ever establishing in you an appreciation of what a man's lodge means to him.
No, I don't have much hopes myself.
Russell, is my cold scoop. Oh, there it is.
Would you tell us what you're going to do with it, Gov?
I'm going to hand it to Ike Kneesuffer.
Why?
In order that he can dig a hole and bury a fish.
Vic, are you feeling all right?
It's an old, old lodge tradition, Sarah.
Is it, William?
When a sky brother in the sacred stars of the Milky Way is guilty of a misprision, felony, crime, or fluke, he figuratively buries the corpse of that misprision, felony, crime, or fluke. He's given a shovel and a dead fish. He digs a hole, deposits there in the dead fish, says a few appropriate words over the...
Come, Pascal.
Oh, yeah?
Come down the alley, big as life.
Is he wearing the robe and plumed hat?
Yes, sir.
I shall make a short work of him.
You're not going to hurt him?
No, of course not. That is, I won't hurt him physically.
Going to lecture him?
I shall lecture him and then rip the tunic from his body and a plumed hat from his head.
Uh-huh.
One side, Gretel.
Okay.
One side, Sarah. ¶¶
Fun in the Afternoon with Vic and Sade. Well, there's some more fun coming your way, 30 minutes of it, with a program called Truth or Consequences. This is from 1947, and it's called Sing Rockabye Baby.
D-U-Z, D-U-Z.
Good guys in your washing machine. Take your clothes out bright and clean. When you does your wash, you'll sing. D-U-Z does everything.
Hello there. We've been waiting for you. It's time to play Truth or Consequences. Yes, Truth or Consequences, the show that does everything on the air, brought to you by Dove, the soap that does everything in your wash. Now, meet the man with the nation's top secret, the man who knows who Miss Hush is. That Truth or Consequences guy, Ralph Edwards.
Wilcox and greetings, party players. Here's something else I know for certain. Right down the wash line, does everything, so start doesing your wash. And here we go with the fifth week of telephone calls in the 1947 Miss Hush contest on Truth or Consequences. So far, we've found out that Miss Hush is not Elsa Maxwell, Maud Adams, Spring Byington, Sister Kenny, Tallulah Bankhead, Mary Pickford, Mary Halloran, Charlotte Greenwood, Red Skelton, Jim Backus, or Jack Parr. None of those are Miss Hush. Now, before we list the giant jackpot of prizes, let's hear from Miss Hush herself, the well-known Miss who is mystifying America, and try to learn her identity through the all-important riddle which she recites each week. Now, here she is, from somewhere in the United States, Miss Hush.
Second for Santa Claus, first for me. 13 for wreath, 7 for tree. Bring me an auto, a book, and a ball, and I'll say Merry Christmas in spring, not in fall.
Who is it? In a moment, we'll make our first phone call to identify Miss Hush. Now, first, listen to the list of prizes in the giant Miss Hush jackpot. All this to the winner. A 1947 Buick Super Convertible from the Howard Automobile Company. A Bendix Home Laundry with washer, dryer, and automatic ironer. A round-trip ticket for two via United Airlines to Honolulu. And a suite of rooms for 2 weeks at the Matson Lines Royal Hawaiian Hotel. A $2,000 Columbia House trailer, completely equipped. A $1,000 Diamond and Ruby Bulova wristwatch. An RCA Victor radio phonograph combination plus a new 1948 RCA Victor television receiver and a library of 100 Red Seal records. An I.J. Fox $1,500 full-length beaver fur coat. An all-metal Luscombe Silvair airplane from Dallas, Texas. $2,000 in cash. A $1,000 Popular Mechanics home workshop with a library of Popular Mechanics instruction books. A Servelle silent gas refrigerator. Sherwin-Williams Cover the Earth trademark paints will paint your house inside and out. A Hart Schaffner and Mark suit and top coat for every adult man and woman in your immediate family. A Tappan gas kitchen range, a 13 cubic foot Jacobs home freezer, product of Jacobs Wind Electric Company, Minneapolis, filled with bird's eye frozen foods. A $1,000 J.R. Wood and Sons art carved diamond ring. A Fitzgibbon steel residence heating boiler to heat the entire home, complete with tank saver to furnish your year-round domestic hot water. And Willett, solid golden burl maple furniture to completely furnish a dining room, two bedrooms, and living room. Now, for our first consequence in a few minutes, our first phone call. Wouldn't that be something to win, sir?
Sure would.
How'd you like to win all that?
Oh, boy.
What is your name?
My name is Clifford Beck.
Where are you from, Mr. Beck?
Port Orchard, Washington.
Where's that?
That's on Puget Sound over in the Olympic Peninsula, up close to Bremerton.
What do you do up Port Orchard way?
I'm an ordnance engineer in the Puget Sound Navy Yard.
Good fella. Hello there, sir. What is your name?
Whitehead.
Yes. Joe Whitehead?
Yeah, Joe.
From where?
Well, I'm from Los Angeles right now, but I'm originally from Ohio.
Yeah, fine.
Coshocton.
Well, most people in Ohio are original. What is your occupation?
I'm a writer. Warner Brothers.
Are you really?
Writer.
Well, meet Port Orchard. Meet Hollywood here.
Hi,
Mr. Beck. Mr. Whitehead. Our question, Mr., will have a little consequence. Okay, boys. Mrs. Blanche Stone of San Francisco sends in this question. They'll be listening over KNBC in San Francisco. KNBC, that used to be KPO. Here's to one of America's great radio stations, KNBC, the ex-KPO, San Francisco. All right, outside of Australia, you ready, Mr. Whitehead?
Yep, I'm
ready. Ready, Mr. Beck?
I'm all ready.
All right, boy, you here alone tonight? Huh?
Oh, no, my wife's sitting around watching me.
You almost slipped there. You almost said yes. Don't ever do that, man. When the wife's here, don't say you're alone.
Keep quiet.
Huh? I can't. It's my living. Oh, you're one. All right. Here's a question. Outside of Australia, who raises the most lambs? Truth or consequences, Mr. Beck and Mr. Whitehead?
The United States.
No, sheep.
Who raises the most lambs?
those lambs out there. Well, where were you, Mr. Whitehead?
I don't know. You lost on that one.
You were working on a scenario back in Studio C. Well, you haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequence. Now, gentlemen, your consequence is to race each other to bed, okay? Okay. On the other side of the stage here, you'll see a bed with a nice white sheet on it. Now, in the middle of the stage are two dressing rooms over here, see? Now, in each dressing room is a pair of pajamas. Now, when I say go, you, Mr. Beck, rush into dressing room number one. Mr. Whitehead, you rush into dressing room number two. Don't unbutton yet. Mr. Beck, slipping unbutton there. No. Fudge. You rush into dressing room number two. Mr. Whitehead, will you do that?
All right.
And as loud as you can, sing Rock-a-Bye Baby. Now, the one who sings the louder, the one who gets dressed and jumps into bed first wins a $50 savings bond. Can you see without your glasses?
Yes, I think I can.
You might be jumping into the control room, you know.
I think I can see okay.
That does in there. That isn't water. All right. Now, you win a $50 savings bond.
When do we sing Rock-a-Bye Baby?
I thought you were going to say, when do we undress? I'm glad you didn't do that. That's when you get in the dress. You start singing Rock-a-Bye Baby when I sing, say go, which will be in about 2 seconds. All right. Now, don't let the other guy knock the other fellow out of bed if it's a tie. Sir?
What's the limit on taking, what do you take off? Everything?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, everything, because you're in a private dressing room there, you see, and you have a whole sort of a suit, a big canvas jumper to get into, like pajamas. All right, a $50 bond to the first one who hops into bed. You ready? Okay, sing loud all the time. Dressing rooms first, get set, go! Rock up! That's the stuff. There they go, into dressing room. Oh, man. Now, Johnny, tune them down a little. While the two men are racing to get into their pajamas, which are really big canvas jumpers, let me explain about this bed over here. That sheet on the bed covers a multitude of things. You see, it isn't really a bed under that sheet. It's a bathtub filled with water. Now, the tub is padded inside and out in case they make a dive for the bed. But whoever gets there first will make one of the biggest splashes in radio history. You can't tell. Let's tune them in where they're dressing and hear what develops.
The treetop.
Are they singing? I don't hear them singing in there.
Rock-a-bye, baby.
Oh, yes, they're doing fine. All right, sounds like Mr. Beck in dressing room number one is coming on fine. Look out. Now. Oh, time is ticking off. Is everything set over here at the bed? Man. Yes, it is. There's big news tonight when he hits that, believe me. Mr. Beck is leading, I think. How are they doing? Mrs. Beck, does Mr. Beck have those high-top shoes on that's taking him so much time or what? Huh? Does he have shoes? Here comes Mr. Beck out. There's, watch out.
I'm awful wet now. This is a good joke. I'm getting mighty wet. What a trick to play on a guy. Dump him in a bathtub. Oh, what a face.
Oh, no, that's all right. What? He's doing it, isn't he? The Whitehead came out. What's the matter? Did you like it?
It's a little bit wet.
Did you have your Saturday night bath?
Yeah.
He saw that Beck had gone in, but he went in anyhow. Gentlemen, come on out. Be careful now. It's slippery. Here are shower robes and towels, boys. Nice race. Oh, I wish Miss Hutch could have seen that one. Back. How do you feel, Mr. Beck?
Boy, I feel mighty wet.
You're the winner. Go back and collect your $50 bond back there. And a runner-up prize, $15 for you. Give him $25, the runner-up, because he went in too. Watch out, don't slip. A big hand. Come on there, 12 guys. Oh, and fellas, you certainly deserve a big red box of does apiece. You know, does everything.
I like the way you say that, Ralph.
Well, thank you, Harlow. I'll say it again. Everything.
Believe me, folks, it's true. In anybody's watch, the one and only does really does.
Everything.
Shirt, sock, coveralls, colors, towels, tablecloths, does them all. Just a short washer run gets those grease-stained work clothes thoroughly clean. Streaked-up towels, gloriously white, really dazzling white.
Everything?
That's only the beginning. This same terrific dirt-getter-outer takes wonderful care of the smartest, gayest colors in the wash. Does it safer for them, actually leaves them brighter. That's where Does is different. Has it all over the other leading package soap sold for wash day? Why, Does even gives you more suds ounce for ounce. Those extra suds are real soap suds, too. You see, folks, Does gives you...
Everything.
Right. The soap shortage taught folks there's no substitute for Does. It's moving out of the store so fast these days, you have to get there early to get Does. From the toughest and the roughest to the whitest and the brightest, Does.
Everything.
Well, thanks a mil. You really were a help, old boy.
I gave everything, believe me. And now stand by, America. I'm now going to call the person who gets first crack at tonight's Miss Hush Giant Jackpot. This is the person in our radio audience who gave us, in our fifth week's contest, the best reason why we all should support the March of Dimes. Hand me the phone, please, and I'll place the call. Hello, operator. Get me Portland, Oregon, please. To the City of Roses we go. Portland, Oregon, home of Woodcraft, Bill Moyes, the Oregonian, Pangborn, Cox, all the gang. Oh, man, I'll bet Portland is buzzing right now. Hello, Portland, Oregon. Our NBC operator, Billy Clevenger, will give you a number in Portland to call. Will you please ring it? Give her the number, please, Billy. Ooh. If you can't get Portland, get me Fred Allen. Fred, I wonder if he knows. We found out that Miss Hush is not Elsa Maxwell, Maud Adams, Spring Byington, Tallulah Bankhead, Sister Kenny, Mary Pickford, Mary Halloran, or Charlotte Greenwood. Hello? 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 Yes, this is Ralph Edwards of the Truth or Consequences program. Is this Mrs. Jack Smarden, S-M-A-R-D-E-N, of 5566 Northeast Sandy Crest Terrace, Portland, Oregon? The rules say that the writers of the best entries must be available at their telephones. Your entry on why we should all support the March of Dimes was selected as the best entry tonight, so you get an opportunity to identify the voice of Miss Hush. Could you use those prizes, Mrs. Smarden? Do you have a big family? Yes. Two children. All right, now the big question, and you can give only one answer. Tell us who you think is Miss Hush.
Well, my guess is Mary Garden. You say Mary Garden. You say Mary Garden. I'm sorry, Mrs. Smarden. Mary Garden is wrong, but don't let this discourage you from trying again next week in case our second and third calls tonight are incorrect, too. And thank you very much, Miss Jack Smarden of Portland, Oregon, for your contribution to the March of Dimes. A lot of people thought it was Mary Garden, so you're in that boat. Thank you. Good night to a lovely lady.
Man,
they're getting close. All right, two more calls yet to be made. I'm telling you, if Miss Hush isn't guest tonight, you all should get in it. It could be you. It can't be long. Let's have some more consequences first, and later on, you'll hear the voice of Miss Hush almost give away her identity and clues tonight. I'll tell you how to become eligible for the giant jackpot of prizes. Come on up here, will you, please, the microphone. Incidentally, the sportsmanship of the wrong guessers is wonderful, just like Mrs. Smarden there. Almost all have written pleasant letters telling us of the aftermath of their being called and their joy being able to support the March of Dimes. How are you, sir?
Fine, then.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Your name?
Lane.
And mine?
Edward.
Thank you. I just want to be sure. I get so excited in this Miss Hush contest, I can't be... Oh, say, there's more big news.
I think we do, too.
Do you, sir?
Absolutely.
Have you made your decision? Don't say it if you have.
Well...
Don't say it. Here's big news for you folks in Oklahoma. Do you mind if I talk to the folks of Oklahoma for a second? Mr. Lane, you're from where?
Los Angeles.
Yes, so especially around Norman in Oklahoma City, we will broadcast next Saturday's Truth or Consequences broadcast from Norman, Oklahoma, at the University of Oklahoma for the American Legion, Post 303, first post established in the United States after World War II. Now, you better check on your seat reservations now because it'll be a great big coast-to-coast Truth or Consequences broadcast from Norman, Oklahoma, next Saturday night. See you there in Norman, Oklahoma. All right, sir. Your name is Mr. Arthur Lane,
right.
And your occupation, sir?
I'm a shipping clerk.
Here's a question, Mr. Lane, from David Deutsch of Brooklyn. Oh, from David again.
Mm-hmm.
What is the greatest change that takes place when water becomes ice? Truth or Consequences?
Mm-hmm. Reason.
The greatest is the price. The price changes so much when it changes. All right, Mr. Lane, you haven't told truth, so you must pay the consequence. Mr. Lane, your consequence is a real test of honor and endurance. We have a barrel in a room backstage. It's upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we won't tell you what's under the barrel, but we want you to sit on top of the barrel until the end of the show. Truth or consequences tonight. Now, you'll be all alone in the room, so we'll never know if you get off the barrel or not. You'll be on your honor. We'll give you $50 in cash if you stay on the barrel until we tell you to get off. Is that okay?
All right.
All right. Now, run backstage, please, into the room with the upside-down barrel and sit on it. That's it. Al Pascal, Phil Davis, show him the way back there, will you? That's the stuff. Just go back there. Now, you're on your honor. Sit on the... Is he gone? He can't hear. Ooh, what's going to happen to Mr. Lane? Now, I guess we can bring Mrs. Lane back on stage now. We sent Mr. Lane's wife off earlier just to plant a seed of suspicion in his mind. Come along, Mrs. Lane. Johnny Pollock, turn on the microphone. I'll walk back to Mrs. Lane. How are you doing? Okay?
I'm doing fine.
Good. All right. Now, we just told your husband to sit on a barrel in a room backstage. Now, under the barrel is a radio speaker, and when we turn it on, whoever speaks into this microphone here on stage will sound as if
They are under the barrel in there. You see?
Yeah, I see.
So, we want you to talk into this microphone. When we turn it on, you say, what's his first name?
Dad. I always call him Dad.
Dad? And what is your first name?
Ella.
Well, you say, Dad, this is Ella. Get off the barrel for a minute, honey. I'm suffocating. See, it'll sound just as if your voice is there. With a speaker under the barrel your husband's sitting on, he'll think you're under it, for sure, you see. Now, Mr. Lane really will have a major decision to make, whether to listen to his wife, who he will think is under the barrel, or to stay on the barrel and collect his $50. Now, Mrs. Lane, we'll give you $75 if you can get your husband off the barrel without giving the gag away, see?
Oh, good.
But don't tell him. You have to say, oh, I'm dying under anything. Okay, tune in a microphone in the room backstage in a moment now when I give you the cue, so we can hear the speaker and poor Mr. Lane's reaction to our pleading. Now, get ready. Are we devils? Okay, here we go. Go ahead. Dad must be D.E.D.
All right, Dom, where are you? Are you? Well, where are you? In the barrel. What barrel? Huh? No, I don't. Where are you?
I'm under the barrel. Get off my...
Well, I never got you in the barrel before, dear. Come on. Where are you? Yeah, I feel the sound under me, but I can't tell where you are.
I'm under the barrel.
You are. Under the barrel. Well. Well, I can't get off. I think so too, dear. Don't you?
Honey, to appreciate you.
Do you want me to? You do? Well, you know the consequence.
On his hand? Where's he?
Do you think he can last for 15 minutes? Mother, do you think you can last for 15 minutes?
All right.
Oh, dear, for 46 years I've been waiting for this chance.
All right. Mr. Lane, this is Ralph Edwards. I'm under here, too. It sure is cozy, isn't it?
Well, have all the fun you want. I've had many fun for 46 years.
Yeah, all right. Look, lift the barrel and let it out. Just lift the barrel there.
I trust my wife. I can't.
Go ahead, get off the barrel and lift it, will you?
I can't really lift it there, Ralph. I'm awful weak.
All right. Well, I'll tell you the joke then. You're okay, brother. Your honor really held up, even though your wife let down. You would have got $75 if you got off. However, because your honor is so great, we'll give you the $75 anyhow. Thanks a lot. It's just a speaker under that barrel. Look under it now, and you'll just see a speaker.
All right, your
wife and I are here on stage. Are you looking?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. He hears it. There's a speaker under there. You'll find out. Come on backstage and collect your $75 for appealing to your other sense of honor. On Mrs. Lane, you better take this box of Duds for protection. Duds does everything, you know.
Thanks so very much indeed.
Mrs. Lane, he means on wash day. From the roughest and toughest to the whitest and brightest, Duds does everything.
Thanks and continued happiness to two wonderful people. And now we call the writer of the second best entry in this week's Miss Hush contest on Truth or Consequences for the March of Dimes. Hand me the phone again, please. Hello, operator. Get me York, Pennsylvania, please. Our first call to Mrs. Jack Smarden in Portland, Oregon, proved that the voice was not that of Mary Garden. Yes, hello, York, Pennsylvania. Our NBC operator will give you a number to call in York. Would you ring it, please? If this person cannot identify Miss Hush, we'll make our third call in a few minutes. Pennsylvania, last year, Pennsylvania proved the blowing-off point of our contest. Mrs. Mary McCormick of Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, gave us the name Clara Bow, and the lid was off the Mrs. Hush contest. But this is York, Pennsylvania. This is the Miss Hush contest. Hello? Hello? How do? Is this Mr. J. Albert Muffet, M-U-F-F-I-T-T, 731 Maryland Avenue, York, Pennsylvania?
Hello, Mr. Muffet. He says, hello, Ralph. So you know, this is Ralph Edwards on Truth and Consequences. Your entry on why we should support the March of Dimes was selected as the second best entry tonight. All right, I'm a little scared of you. The big question, and you can give only one answer. Tell us who you think is Miss Hush. You say the answer is Marjorie Lawrence, the opera star? Marjorie Lawrence. Mr. Muffet of York, Pennsylvania, I'm sorry. Miss Hush is not Marjorie Lawrence, but thanks for supporting the March of Dimes. Many polio victims will be aided by your and other entrants' contributions. Good night, sir. You're a wonderful fellow and a good choice you had. Now, goodbye, sir. Now, in a minute, another phone call, and if Miss Hush is not identified, then we'll hear her voice and some very obvious clues. And I'm glad you're making your contributions dollars as well as dimes when you send in your entry. Now Does nominates this week's Dishpan Dozer. She's Mrs. Roy Duncan of Castroville, California.
Does, delighted to have you join the Dishpan Dozers. Mrs. Duncan, you've learned Does does everything in the dishpan, too. From fast action on pans to gentle action on hands. Have you heard the good word about those Does suds, folks? They're real soap suds that stand up till the last dish is done. Does actually makes more suds, ounce for ounce, than any strong granulated soap. And changing to Does can mean softer, smoother hands. Start dozing your dishes. Does everything.
That it does, Harlow. I was listening to every word, kid. And now, the third call to the writer of the third best entry in this 1947 Miss Hush contest. If this person doesn't know the identity of Miss Hush, three more fabulous prizes will be added to the greatest jackpot in radio history, and three more people will be called next week. Maybe you, if you've entered the March of Dimes Miss Hush contest. More of that in a moment. Here goes the call. And brothers and sisters, hold on to your hats. Tonight's third winner is in Hollywood, California. Operator, will you please call the Hollywood number given you? Stand by, Miss Hush. This could be it. If it isn't, the clues Miss Hush will give certainly will bring the contest to a head soon. Hello? Right. Oh, man, this is right in the backyard here. Hollywood. This could be it, Miss Hush. Stand by. Engineer X, stand by. See, we're going to have to run if it is. Hello? Hello? Is this Dorothy Deer of 2200 Broadview Terrace, Hollywood 28, California? Miss or Mrs. Deer? Dorothy Deer. This is Ralph Edwards of Truth or Consequences. Congratulations. This is no time for jokes, Miss Deer. Congratulations on a fine entry statement in the Miss Hush contest. All right. Already tonight, the names of Mary Garden and Marjorie Lawrence, you know who's been guests, have been guests. All right, the big question, you can give only one answer. Tell us who you think is Miss Hush. Oh, now give me all of this. You're very sorry you don't know her last name. You think it has something to do with what? With Warm Springs, Georgia? A woman who has done great work with Warm Springs, Georgia. Mrs. Dorothy Deer of Hollywood, I'm sorry. I can tell you the truth. This is not that lady that you're thinking of. She's not Miss Hush. Thanks on behalf of the March of Dimes and Truth or Consequences. Keep trying, will you? Okay. Good night. Good night. Oh, man, I thought that was going to be it. Miss Hush does not have anything to do with Warm Springs, Georgia, to my knowledge, and so that is not the correct answer. Besides, she didn't have a name. So the name of Miss Hush remains a mystery for another week. I hope your name will be called next week. Next week, in addition to the 1947 Buick Super Convertible, a Bendix Home Laundry, a round-trip ticket for two via United Airlines Mainliner 300 to Honolulu, and a suite of rooms for a 2 weeks vacation at the Matson Lines Royal Hawaiian Hotel, a $2,000 Columbia House trailer, a $1,000 Diamond and Ruby Bulova wristwatch, an RCA Victor television receiver, and a library of 100 Red Seal records, an I.J. Fox $1,500 full-length beaver coat, a $1,000 Popular Mechanics home workshop with a library of Popular Mechanics instruction books, a Servel silent gas refrigerator, Sherwin-Williams Cover the Earth trademark paints to paint your house inside and out, a Hart Shafter and Mark suit and top coat for every adult man and woman in your immediate family, a tap and gas kitchen range, a 13 cubic foot Jacobs home freezer, product of Jacobs Wind Electric Company, Minneapolis, filled with bird's eye frozen foods, a $1,000 J.R. Wood & Sons art carved diamond ring, a Fitzgibbon steel residence heating boiler to heat the entire home complete with tank saver to furnish year-round domestic hot water, a full house, a house full of Willett Golden Burl solid maple furniture to completely furnish your dining room, two bedrooms, and living room. To all this, Truth or Consequences, next week we'll add universal electric blankets for every bed in your house, an Electrolux vacuum cleaner with all attachments, and art craft Venetian blinds throughout your entire home. Who is Miss Hush? Well, stand by. Here she is again. From somewhere in the United States comes the voice of Miss Hush. Listen and good luck. Here is the voice.
Second for Santa Claus. First for me. 13 for wreath. 7 for tree. Bring me an otter, a book, and a ball, and I'll say Merry Christmas in spring, not in fall.
Who is it? If you think you can identify the voice of Miss Hush, this is what you do to enter the contest. Now listen. 1, finish this sentence in 25 additional words or less. We should all support the March of Dimes because. 2, enclose your entry in an envelope, only one entry to an envelope, with a money contribution, if you please, for the March of Dimes. 3, mail with your name, address, and telephone number printed clearly in the upper right-hand corner to Miss Hush, Hollywood, California. Do not send your entries to the Truth or Consequences office. 4, do not include the name of Miss Hush with or on your entry. And don't forget, each week brings a new contest until Miss Hush is identified. All entries received by Monday, December 1st, will be judged, and the writer of the best entry in this group will be called next Saturday. Eligibility for participation is not contingent upon your contribution to the March of Dimes. Let your heart be your guide. Each week, the writer of the best entry will be called as we did tonight. You must be at your telephone at the time of our Eastern broadcast. Entries will be judged for sincerity, originality, and aptness of thought. The judge's decision will be final. All entries and ideas therein become the property of Truth or Consequences, and none will be returned. Any resident of the United States may compete except employees of Truth or Consequences, NBC, Procter & Gamble, their advertising agencies, and their families. Only one attempt will be made to reach the contender for the prize, and that attempt will be on our regular Eastern broadcast on Saturdays, 8:30 Western Time, 7:30 Central Time, and you listeners in the Mountain and Pacific Time zones must be at your telephones at 6:30 Mountain Time and 5:30 Pacific Time. Remember, finish this sentence in 25 additional words or less. We should all support the March of Dimes because. The address, Miss Hush, Hollywood, California. Now here she is again, Miss Hush, from somewhere in the United States. Come on, you know this woman. Can't you give us some hints, Miss Hush?
Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, and I am sure you will understand tonight who I am. Second for Santa Claus. Second what? Remember, he had 8 reindeer. Personally, I prefer an auto. There, you have my profession and my name. Now I'm going to have a cracker while you count up 13 and 7 in the alphabet and rush to mail your entry. Good night, and good luck. And thank you for your contributions to the polio fund. You are making it possible for many polio victims to spring, not fall.
Now, who is it? Beautifully done, Miss Hush, beautifully done. I'm sure they must know now. Someone's going to win, maybe next week. I hope it's you. Now, be sure to get in it. This week now, and if your contributions to the March of Dimes are generous, the polio victims, large and small, will be the winners in the end. How much more time we got, Ed? 15 seconds. Let's give them applause and a big news coming up. Big news. Sud's alive. Look here. Look here. Sud's alive. Here come our happy Godezzi singers and their merry washing machine. Hello.
D-U-Z, D-U-Z.
Put Dove in your washing machine.
Work clothes come out oh so clean.
White things white and colored things bright.
D-U-Z does everything.
From the roughest and the toughest to the whitest and the brightest.
No soap quite like does before.
Does is different, does more.
When you does your wash, you'll sing.
D-U-Z does everything. D-U-Z, D-U-Z.
Oh, that was sensational, kids. And now the grand prize winner tonight is... Buddy Cole, beautifully played, beautifully played. Buddy Cole is not Miss Hush either. The gentleman who went in the bathtub there. Yes, sir, Mr. Beck and Mr. Whitehead there. Each get a $25 savings bond. Folks, the truth is most dealers pay you good money for used kitchen fats. Why? Because the fats and oil shortage continues worldwide. Everybody save every drop. This is Ralph Edwards sending you dozens of good washes, and until next week when we broadcast Truth or Consequences in person from Norman, Oklahoma, and hear if Miss Hush is identified. Maybe a Norman. Good night, everybody! Why has Hollywood star Virginia Mayo switched to new improved green shampoo? Because compared to dulling soap shampoos, this wonderful new green reveals up to 33% more sheen. Follow Virginia's secret for shining hair.
It's new green.
wish for Hollywood Sheen. Improved green. Wish for Hollywood Sheen. Your hair can have that Hollywood Sheen. The very first time you use New Dream, get wonderful new green shampoo. New Dream.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Procter & Gamble, the makers of Does. Ralph Edwards' Truth or Consequences came to you from Hollywood and Miss Hush's Hideaway.
Where's that?
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
I hope you enjoyed our excursion into daytime radio, and we'll do it again at some point, but that's all the time we have for today. So this is Jim Dolan saying goodbye, and join us next time for more of the RTC Weekly Download.